A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, hands off this week. He'll be back with us next week. Huge news coming out of the NFL. Sean Payton is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. Last time this guy joined us, we were talking about Russell Wilson being the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Hopefully this plays out a little bit better than it did after our last conversation. But former Broncos safety, legend there, working the media in Denver, Nick Ferguson, kind enough to join us. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's good to catch up with you again. All right, so did you feel like Peyton was still in play, or did you kind of turn the page on that before it happened?
No, I still felt as though he was still in play, because if you look at some of the options and how they lined up, I still believe that Jim Harbaugh was the first option. Sean Payton was the second. Dan Quinn was third, and then pulling up the rear, unfortunately, was D'Amico Ryans, but he wowed them in his interview, which is the reason why he emerged as one of the top guys for this job. And once Jim Harbaugh decided that he wanted to go back to Michigan, the ownership kept trying. They were trying to get Jim to come, but for some reason he was beholden to the Wolverines and wanted to stay there. So right now, at that point, the Broncos said, well, we wanted to make a splash. Right now we're looking like a circus here as we begin our coaching search, and Sean Payton proved to be the one guy that made fans go, hey, we found our guy, because he has the most experience.
Do you believe, there's a couple different storylines out there. Do you believe that Sean Payton, that D'Amico Ryans was the guy they really wanted, and that D'Amico turned down the Broncos job for Houston, and then they went to Sean Payton? Or do you feel like they wanted Sean all along once Harbaugh was out of the mix?
I believe that Sean was in play. But once again, there were rumors or whispers that there was someone in the organization not named that had some issues with Sean Payton. And after that point, all eyes turned to D'Amico Ryans. But once again, I just personally feel as though chasing Jim Harbaugh left D'Amico in a situation where he wanted to be validated for what he's done thus far. And any of us would want that, and I can't blame him. And with that being in mind, and knowing that they might lose D'Amico to Houston, they turned their eyes back to Sean Payton. And I'll just say this, no matter what the coaching carousel was like, the process of trying to find the next coach, right now, here in Broncos country, you know what? We really don't care, because the idea is that we found our coach, and now it's time to move forward.
So, as a former player, and I know you probably still have connections inside that locker room, just how bad was it last year with Nathaniel Hackett, who, by all accounts, a very good man, a good offensive coordinator, but where was it that it got sideways with him last year?
Well, it took a turn for the worse, and I would say, guys, it started with the first game of the season. And you had the two fumbles inside the red zone. Russell was turning back to where he played the bulk of his football career in Seattle. And then it was a decision to allow Brandon McManus to kick the field goal instead of allowing Russell Wilson to attempt a 4th-and-5. I know most coaches were not doing that situation, but the way that everything was being built up, Russell turning back to Seattle, to me, that started the beginning of the end, and it kind of snowballed down here after that. The offense not being on the same page, and it didn't help that you had a couple of guys across that offensive line who started to sustain some injuries. And Russ will tell you, Russ wasn't himself. And it just seemed as though they could never get things back on track, no matter how much they tried. So at the end of the day, Nathaniel Hackett was fired because he sold the idea that he could come in and make this offense much better than we saw the previous year when Pat Shurmur was offensive coordinator, but that didn't happen.
So, Sean Payton, obviously the resume speaks for itself. How much improvement should we expect from Russell Wilson next year under a coach like Sean Payton?
A substantial amount of improvement, because here's the way I look at it, guys. As much as people want to say locally and nationally that Russell is broken and he needs to be fixed, it's not that. It's just a matter of putting in a couple of wrinkles in the offense that definitely accentuate his ability. That's all you have to do. And I'll tell you guys, this, I just put something up on social media about this. When you think about one guy who's had the most success in Sean Payton's system, and he is kind of in the same measurements as a Russell Wilson, that guy would be Drew Brees. And I said, well, who is better than Drew Brees to come in and help move this offense along and be somewhat of a consultant, not a quarterback coach, if that's the direction they want to go, fine. But Drew Brees would be one guy to help Russell understand his offense, because when you start to switch from one offense to the next, everyone has to learn that offense, even the quarterbacks. And I can tell you this as a defensive guy, we love facing those rookie quarterbacks who are learning a new system because they didn't know all the checks. So Russell, being a veteran, he falls into that same category. So his stats can actually go up with Sean Payton because of how Sean Payton used a variety of screenplays, Darren Sproles, how he was utilized in New Orleans. Now they have Chase Edmonds here in the fold. And then you got Jerry Jeudy, Greg Dulcich. You're going to get Tim Patrick back. You take Cortland Sutton. You move him in the slot like Marcus Colson did with the Saints. And then bring Drew Brees in here once again and show Russell the proper way to run this offense. And that's a recipe for success, fellas.
What do you feel like? Are you hearing any names in terms of staff goes, and any ideas on how you'd like them to go, or Sean Payton, how you'd like him to build that staff?
Well, he's trying to figure that out right now. The first thing was finding defensive coordinators. Here are Everett Rose, the current defensive coordinator. He's meeting with him this afternoon, so we'll know more about that situation. And before, it was Vic Fangio who was linked to the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the 49ers, but as of this morning, 9 a.m. Mountain Time, he signed with the Miami Dolphins. Now, he hasn't signed just yet. That deal is supposed to take place after the Super Bowl, but in principle, he has agreed to be the defensive coordinator for Mike McDaniels and the Miami Dolphins. So right now, the first thing is trying to secure Jura Everett, because that guy did one heck of a job in his first year as a defensive coordinator, and the guys around here, they just love him. The next thing after that is trying to fill out your roster. Now, I'll give you a couple ideas of who I would like to see them bring in. I would like to see them bring in Reggie Wayne, the Tulsa wide receivers, Joe DiCamillo for Tulsa special teams, and I would definitely love to see Skip Peak be the running back coach. Mm.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
What made Evero so good as a defensive coordinator? Because as bad as that offense was, that defense was clicking throughout a good chunk of the season.
Well, the thing that made them good was this is any good coordinator or coach would do for any of his players. He put them in position to succeed. But the one guy that always stands out to me is Joseph Jewell. He was one of those players in Vic Fangio's defense who was a little exposed because of his lack of speed and athleticism. But in Everett's scheme, he put him in a position to be successful. He didn't ask him to do too much, and he just focused on his skill set and things that he did well. And that's the one thing that I love about Coach Everett being a young guy. And this is any coach. You know, in my time being around Kyle Shanahan when I coached with the 49ers, it was all about understanding the players, being able to talk to the players, getting on their same page. And that's something that Everett did, especially being under Sean McVay, who still had that same type of Kyle Shanahan personality when Coach Everett was with the L.A. Rams.
When you're playing for the Broncos and Kyle Shanahan's just kind of floating around, probably still as a youngster, I think at that point was may have just been out of college. Did you get the sense that that he had the future ahead of him that he's got right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Because once again, it's like his dad was a coach, and I'm sure they had conversations at night where other kids were being read bedtime stories. Kyle was getting a first-class education on running the offense that his father's run successfully for so many years. And you just think about the league as a whole. There are several, I guess, Mike Shanahan disciples who are running around the NFL running a similar type of offense. So Kyle got a first-hand, up-close look at what an offensive coordinator should be, but more importantly, what a head coach should be.
Nick Ferguson, longtime Broncos safety, was a part of some incredible teams in the early 2000s, now radio host in Denver. And I got to imagine the vibe there in Denver is really, really high because you get a coach of the quality of Sean Payton. Is confidence level now being restored in that fan base?
Absolutely. And that's why I was in so much chaos during the process, because it had been 6 weeks since Nathaniel Hackett had been fired. They had interviewed 9 individual coaches, and a coaching hire had not been made. So once Sean Payton was announced, obviously we're not seeing it saying, hey, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl, but fans are really happy because now there's a more experienced coach, and I think most fans here wanted that. That's not to say that, you know, guys who are taking the job for the first time can't get it done, because when you look around the NFL, there are several coaches who have taken their teams to the playoffs and they're in their first or second year, and most of those coaches are under the age of 45. So this whole idea that you need experience to be successful, that's not so much true nowadays. But the fan base here, they're happy. They have a guy who has a track record, 15 years in the league, took Drew Brees to the Super Bowl, and they were always competitive in the war. So for right now, no games have been played, no staffs have been put together. Everyone in Broncos country, they're happy right now.
All right, before I let you go, Nick, I know we've been talking a lot about Broncos, but what do you anticipate in this Super Bowl matchup coming up here in just over a week?
I'm excited about this matchup. I remember after the games went final, and I realized what was actually taking place. I said, you have two quarterbacks who happen to be African-American who are about to make history in playing in a Super Bowl against one another. And when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and obviously I've seen them a lot, being as though I cover the Denver Broncos, this is not the team that we've seen in years past where they were so explosive and they could just kind of run teams off the field. This is a team that is still competitive. Patrick Mahomes still finds his outlet in Travis Kelce, but they use their running backs in different ways. They don't just hand it off to them. They throw it to them out of the backfield. But the one thing that Philly has done well, and when you get to this point, you have to be able to do this, stop the run and be able to run the ball. And early on in the season, Philadelphia wasn't great at it, so they went out and they got a couple of guys, and Dominic Sue being one of those guys. So when you have a defense that can get after teams and they can run the ball well, and then you have Jalen Hurts, who by far is my MVP. He's not going to win the MVP, but he is my MVP. I mean, it's a recipe for success. So I'm going to go on the limb, and I'm going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles to take home the trophy.
Nice, nice. Well, Nick, I would love to do nothing but just hear you talk about Jake Plummer's stories for an hour, but we better let you go. But I tell you what, those early, you know, that 2005, 2004, 2006 run you guys went on was an absolute joy. I was a Bronco. I'm still a diehard Broncos fan, and those were some fun years for sure.
Well, they were, and I guess, you know, now living back here in Denver, I see so many fans. And I'm so disappointed that we were not able to bring home a Super Bowl trophy. And every year it gets harder and harder, knowing that I can't go back and repeat that Pittsburgh game that we lost. Because watching the playoffs every single year and watching the Super Bowl, it just makes me feel just that much worse. But, hey, it's water under the bridge. I just have to deal with it at this point and hope maybe these Broncos under Sean Payton can get back there and just kind of make me feel a little bit better about the situation.
Well, I mean, the NFL was against Cincinnati in that game against Kansas City. You know, obviously they had a favorite, and I think the same thing. You know, the bus was on his way out, and they just kind of cleared a path for the Steelers to get past you guys and into the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's a big conspiracy. That's what happened.
Well, you know what? The one thing that you are bringing up is something that has been a topic of conversation here in Denver, but nationally as well, as most fans believe exactly what you just said, that these games are rigged and the teams or the players or the coaches that the NFL want to get into the Super Bowl or these playoff games, they're going to ensure that. Now, I can't confirm or deny that, but based on how some of these games have been called as of late, it leaves you to scratch your head to figure out, well, what's really going on?
Well, tell you what, Nick, it's always been a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for your time, and hopefully you're talking about a whole bunch more Broncos wins next year.
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, I'll take it.
There you go. Nick Ferguson right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.